Remember, you can stay up to date on the latest news with the Irish Independent WhatsApp channel.
Seachtain, an Indo-Askeilige.
Táim I mon iarachtaí a dhéanamh teacht ar a chur, agus súligam amach an seo, gur féidir é a chur in uaig ceart lena bhaintir féin.
Scíltaí, fios, tuairimí.
Tá sé dochreite nach bhféadfach ara I gcuir na meáin an cheistin a eicáil.
Bhí an talam a gnám go raibh orthchar na reachtam. Iadach sé tarrin gribhan ar chur san I lis dúhal agus gimine fnacht gór a clig sár ducha sin éachar. Ná ní bhin áon tar dorach sa sin, bhin marav.
Seachtain. Find us on all the usual podcast platforms.
Hello and you're welcome to The Big Tech Show with me, Adrian Weckler, the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent. And this week we're talking to Samsung's corporate vice president for the UK and Ireland, Conor Pearce, the big shot in these islands. Conor, you're welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thank you, Adrian. Nice to see you again.
And you too. Now, Conor, it's at this time of the year that normally I would be bemoaning to my friends that I'm working, but actually secretly loving being in Las Vegas at the Consumer Electronics Show. It's the world's biggest single event for things like TVs and all sorts of consumer tech. And Samsung has been fairly prominent this year. And I'm going to get to some of the big things that Samsung's launching itself in the Irish market later on, including the S21. But I'm going to ask you about a couple of things that I've seen, the consumer electronics shows. One of the ones that intrigued me was the new micro LED televisions, a 110-inch model, in fact. Now, first of all, a couple of years ago, I would have said, who needs a 110-inch TV? Today, I'm raising my hand. I'm saying, I need a 110-inch TV. And I actually think that might be a pandemic thing. But what's the thinking here in terms of, because I know there's an 88-inch and a 99-inch, and look, Samsung, as well as other manufacturers, has had large televisions in the past. It's normal to be 55, 65, 70-inch these days. What's the thinking, do you think, in terms of how big we can go in terms of televisions?
Yes, Adrian, I do agree, actually. It's my first time experiencing CES from afar. I don't miss the trip to Las Vegas every January, and neither does my family.
I kind of like it because it, in a way, it's disruptive. But in another way, January is a fairly miserable month, and you do get to go into the desert sun. You know,
that's fair. Yes, a bit of sunshine doesn't go amiss at all. Yeah, of course. You know, I think during the last 12 months, people have really looked for ways in which they can refresh their tech at home, and TVs have seen a huge increase last year for all the reasons you know about. And Samsung, in its DNA, is always pushing the boundaries. And naturally, micro LED is the next huge innovation that we're bringing to the party. I just saw this morning that the Samsung lineup that's been showcased in CES has won 44 innovation awards, micro LED being one of them. So of course, size matters. 110-inch, it's a huge piece of equipment. In fact, I've actually had the privilege of seeing that in real life.
Oh.
And it is mind-boggling. But the quality is phenomenal.
So in terms of size, I think I saw a comparison. It's a little bit bigger, I think, than taking 4 55-inch TVs and stitching them together. It's a little bit bigger than that, I think.
I mean, it's completely immersive. The quality and the quality of the images and also the size really takes over your room, but brings you into whatever you're viewing, whether that's gaming or whether that's 8K definition, 8K movies. It really is a phenomenal
Imagine watching experience. The 6 o'clock news on a 110-inch TV.
Imagine.
You know, I mean, but it's a very interesting thing. And what you're getting at is what I have felt for only a short period of time, really only since the pandemic. We actually bought a new 55-inch telly before Christmas. And I thought that 55-inch was going to be the sweet spot because we were going from a 40-inch. I can tell you now, within a week or two, I was regretting that I hadn't gone bigger. And I never thought I'd hear myself say that.
Yeah, there you go. Well, next stop for you, there's 110-inch.
I might go easy and maybe get like merely an 88-inch or something instead.
Yeah, I think I'll need a new wall looking at my wall there if I went that big.
Yeah, but the point is that, and you're referring to micro LED, one of the spurs for me going to 55 was I went to an OLED. Samsung has QLED. The one I got is OLED. But at that picture quality, the resolutions that we have now, 4K, maybe moving to 8K in a few years, it just kind of does make a difference in terms of the size of the screen, because you can watch stuff now and it doesn't seem blurred or stretched. But where do you see this going? And one of the things I wanted to ask you was, curved televisions, have they had their day?
I think it was a very interesting experience for Samsung to, again, do what's never been done before and bring in that new experience to life. And actually, I had when I joined Samsung in 2015, my first purchase was a curved TV. And I loved it. It was very innovative, very, very unique. And it is quite immersive. However, I don't think it took off, because I think people are looking for that ultra thin, ultra slim TVs that basically sit neatly like a picture on the wall. And from that, I actually invested in a Samsung Frame TV, where you can obviously change the bezels on the TV.
And did you actually watch that as a television, or did you hang it as a wall and kind of flip?
No, I have it next to me here now. But I do. We watch it for TV. We watch it for gaming on Xbox. But actually, what I do enjoy most is that you can actually upload your own pictures, and it could be a picture frame of your own creations, if you like. And you also get access to all the world galleries. So you can browse through that. So it's a piece of art as well as a TV.
I like the World Gallery, because I have a couple of smart screens around the home. One here on my desk, which shows me World Gallery stuff. I've always been reticent to put my own photographs up, though, because I like my photographs, but I'm just a little bit insecure about them being that big. You're obviously not.
No, I'm nowhere close to you in terms of photography prowess, but no, I don't. It's more like family shots from holidays,
right.
But it's nice. And it just obviously rotates every now and again. It just makes it, rather than a black screen, it's now a picture frame.
Right.
So I think that's a very different
experience. The curved TV thing then, what you're saying is it was a very interesting innovation. You still see it in monitors, actually, PC monitors. People still, I think because they're sitting dead center, and they have the perfect view. Whereas maybe in a family context in the sitting room, one of the issues that I found was if you're sitting on the couch off to the right, your view of the right-hand side of the TV that is curving away from you isn't quite as good as the upside of the TV.
Yeah, that's a fair point, actually. And gaming has become obviously huge, huge through the pandemic. And what we've seen is a noted increase in sales of curved monitors, particularly the large gaming monitors that we offer. In fact, I just purchased the Microsoft Flight Simulator 2020 version.
Oh, nice.
I fancy myself as a pilot. I'm a long way from that. But going back to the dark ages and early 90s, I actually did my private pilot license long time ago. So I've always... But anyway, again, back to the experience.
You're going to be a Collison. You're like the Collisons. The Collisons all have pilot license. There was one time I was hosting a thing in Belfast, and John Collison was one of the keynote speakers. I was doing a fireside with him. And he turned up in the morning, looked a little bit groggy. He had flown overnight. He'd flown via Newfoundland to Belfast.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I think the last time I flew was back in Western Aerodrome. And it was probably in 1994. And when baby three arrived, I was informed it was a bad career.
Right. Fair enough.
So off you go.
Sound
advice. Will be next.
Yeah. It's a good gig, the simulator. Can I just move on quickly to, I'm going to get to phones in a minute, but one of the other things that was that captured the imagination at CES was the Bot Handy robots. And we all saw the short video and the presentation and the imagery of what to me looked a little bit like the TARS robot from Interstellar, like one sliver of the TARS robot kind of stitched onto a Roomba. But with a mechanical arm and quite effective and go stacking dishes and offering somebody a drink. So different from basic robots up to now. I mean, we've got a robot Hoover, a lot of people have. It does a basic job. And one of the interesting things about this was it uses AI vision, so it can putatively tell what the material is, so it knows how much pressure to apply when it's picking something up. Yeah. How far do you think that kind of a home scenario is, where, you know, because every CS I've ever gone to, there's always been robots and there's always this vision painted of future robots. How far realistically do you think we are away from that?
I think in my experience going to CS, as you as well, you come away inspired with the imagination of companies coming up with the most incredible innovations. And it does, some of them never actually make it to the market. It's more concepts. You see a lot of concept cars there, for example. But what's important is the thinking that goes into it, the engineering that goes into it. So whether that in its own right comes to life or not, it's what the engineering and the design behind it, I think in time, that's what will materialize. And of course, I don't know when that's going to come to life, if it is going to come to life. But I do think that that concept will become quite normal in years to come. Years, with that 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, I don't know. But I mean, looking at even these days, when you look at new builds, they're much smarter than they ever have been. They're fully teched up. So I think smart homes will become a business as usual. And how you use robots and that type of thing, I think that will become, people will start considering that. I wouldn't mind one myself. I'd use that robot to help teach my children.
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest teases every year at CES, and usually ends up being one of the biggest letdowns as well, there's always somebody who has a robot to fold your laundry. And you, oh my God, you know, you know, holy grail. Until you actually realize that it's a kind of a gizmo, that everything has to be set up in advance, and it doesn't actually, you know, put a handle down into your dirty laundry basket and do the whole thing from there. It has to be all set up. But one of the interesting, I wrote about this a few years ago, and the notion of robots in your home, many of us have smart devices now, smart speakers. And one of the behavioral issues that emerges for families is how you talk to that robot and whether you need to be polite to the robot or not. There is an whole narrative about parents telling kids to be polite to, you know, the Amazon Echo or the Bixby device or whatever. And I wonder in future, like, you know, if I have the Handybot and if I'm having a bad day and I start screaming at the Handybot, you know, what that says about me. Anyway, that's a whole other podcast. But
I want to learn from you, I wonder. Might pick up some language for me.
Well, why not? I mean, well, we know that these devices are adaptive in the sense that they pick up your speech and language if you, you know, permit them to. Maybe they could, like Blade Runner 2049, maybe like the AI and that, maybe it can start learning your personality. Anyway, that is really a different podcast. But
it does open your mind. CES, if you come back from CES, your mind is completely open with all those concepts and innovations. It's very inspiring. And time, it's great. Again, it's an incredible industry to work in because we're always on the edge of something
new. Do you remember this time last year, not this time, but maybe in a few weeks, the big issue was, you know, will Mobile World Congress happen? Who's going to Mobile World Congress? Who's pulling out of Mobile? It's just so strange to think that it's been one full year since that happened, you know.
So much has changed, exactly.
Moving on to Samsung's big news of the week, certainly in this part of the world, and that is the launch of the Galaxy S21 devices. There are three devices. There are also new buds and a new tracker gadget as well.
Smart tag.
I haven't had one in my hand, but I've gone through the presentation. Yeah, it looks like it's a kind of the S21, 21 Plus and 21 Ultra, they look like they're iterative improvements, that everything's kind of a little bit higher spec. There is a new design on the back with the camera, but the everything just seems a bit better. Is that fair or how would you describe it?
You know, I think in some cases it's been significant improvement. And I think looking at the last year, I think people recognize that technology has become a vital thread that really maintains a connection to what's important to you, be it that the loved ones sitting at home or in hospital or homeschooling and working from home. So I think people are really open to upgrading their technology. As we've seen last year, we've had a really successful year last year. And I think when we're coming to looking at the design of a new S series, we have to understand what people use this device for. And typically people use their device. In fact, I just read recently, I think 17% of the Irish smartphone users open their phone 200 times a day.
Oh, so easily.
Maybe a bit excessive.
Yeah.
But yeah, it just shows it becomes such a huge part of our life. So we listen, what do they use it for? They use it obviously for web browsing, for photos, for gaming, and for obviously productivity. And with that in mind, we also have to ask ourselves, well, why would someone want to buy, what's the decision criteria they will use to purchase a Samsung smartphone? Design and color, and you'll see the colors are beautiful.
Including brown, I think. Including brown?
No, there's no brown.
There's no brown. Oh, yeah, violet, I thought I saw
pink,
brown.
Gray, and white. So yeah, there's four or five colors. But also the design. And then the camera housing is probably the biggest difference, the biggest change, which you'll see. But why do people, the color, design, camera quality, which I know you were very focused on screen size, battery, and reliability. So if you take all that into account and looking at the learnings of the S20 and previous flagships, we know we always look for ways in which you can improve. And we've done so. I think in particular, how people use the camera, this is a big part of it. And I think we've really reimagined how people can express themselves. So let me give you an example. The S21 Ultra, I think this is made for you. 108 megapixel camera, and you can shoot with 8K and take an 8K snapshot. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to think about, do I take a video or do I take a picture? Just run a video and you can take a great picture out of that. We also have 100 times space zoom. So really huge opportunity.
The thing I'm most interested about the zoom is that there are now two optical zooms on. When we're talking about the Ultra now, there's a 3x and a 10x optical, and they are supposed to work in tandem to increase your reach. Now, I'll be honest, the 100x space zoom on last year's Ultra and previous Samsung phones, to me it was limited in the sense that, to me, I found when I got any beyond sort of 40x, 50x, and you're really pushing any camera at that point, I don't know. It's not necessarily what I would have thought was a great image at 100x. I'm hopeful that maybe with the new architecture, the way that the Ultra puts these shots together, that maybe it might get a little bit closer, might be able to push it further to that 100x.
Yeah, I'm confident that we've learned from last year as well. I think it's going to be a much better experience. And I'm sure you'll put it to its test. So I'm looking forward to that feedback. And one element that is new in the Ultra as well, it also includes, maybe most people won't know what this is, but a 12-bit RAW option in Pro mode. So you can really get into the depth of the quality of the video. But let me explain what, from a user point of view. So they have this new director's view. So you can take a video, and on that, you can see live thumbnails and thumbnails. And each thumbnail, you can determine the angle or the focus of whatever it's showing you through those cameras it's presenting on one screen. And then you can also, with your Buds Pro, you can actually talk over what the phone is recording. So you can have two different audio inputs. You also have a vlogger view. So imagine being at a concert and you're showing your front camera.
Oh, concert. Remember those?
Yeah, remember concerts? Exactly. Yeah. Those days are a sports game. But actually, it activates both cameras. So it shows, if it records front and back.
Do you know the interesting thing about that? I do watch some sports bloggers or vloggers, and it has become a thing where instead of showing the goal, they're showing their own reaction to the goal. And actually, it's not just sports. There's a whole, that's what Gogglebox is, right, on the TV. And there's a whole ecosystem of blogging. You could argue that Twitch is made up of an awful lot of that. There are Twitch accounts that literally are made up of people sleeping, and literally they're just sleeping for 8 hours, and they will actually get viewers for that. So I can see the market there for that. All right, I'm suspect that a lot of this is only made possible because the chips under the hood are now just so much more powerful.
New Exynos chip that we have is the 2100.
Do you know? As you know, that there was a lot of commentary last year about the S20 or the Note 20, there was a difference in different markets between which model got the Snapdragon and which got the Exynos. And there were some benchmarking differences there. Do you think that the new Exynos processor will make that up?
Yeah, I do. Actually, I just, you saw it was announced yesterday. So definitely we see a marked improvement in performance, and also about 20% less power consumption. So I think from a graphics point of view, gaming point of view, obviously people are using their device for video calls and multimedia. I think that the stream that you'll see on the Ultra on the 120 hertz, I think will be just supreme, definitely.
There are two other standout points about the S21. The first one is that there's no charger in the box. And I remember Samsung running ads against a certain competitor that also did not include a charger in its box set, its launch in October. And I remember ads mocking that particular manufacturer. I think those ads have been deleted or removed. Leaving aside the pros and cons, environment versus cost savings and all that kind of stuff, I guess if Samsung and Apple are both doing this now, it's very hard to see that this is not going to be a standard, that this is the standard default, certainly for flagship devices. Actually, a lot of the budget devices were already doing this anyway.
true. I do believe the standard in the future will be wireless charging.
Mm.
And 25% of smartphone users actually choose to use wireless charging.
Mm.
And you can get multiple device charge, wireless charging devices now. Even from Samsung, you can charge one phone to the other.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the trend. And I think it's, of course, apart from the obvious environmental impact on it, I think that if you think about how many chargers do you have in your house?
Yeah, loads.
You know, going back, I mean, a few years,
yeah,
the actual charger itself, so we obviously still including the USB-C cable in the box, but the plug itself is not included.
Is it USB-C to USB-C or is it USB-A to USB-C? It's okay. So that's similar to what the other big manufacturer did. And the only complaint there was that while everybody has loads of charging bricks in their house, not that many people would have one that has a USB-C port on it. But if we're going wireless, and I think a lot of people are echoing what you're saying there, in theory then, doesn't that logically follow that at some point in future that the phones themselves will reflect that and just won't be wiring, recharging them via cables anymore at all?
I think in time that would be the call. That would definitely be the way.
Yeah.
It would just become a common standard. And I think obviously much more environmentally friendly. But again, obviously you can charge from multiple devices. I actually just bring my Galaxy Z Fold and charge my watch and my earbuds.
Right.
My Buds Live on the device itself.
On the device. So
So you can use your phone as a charging pad as such.
You mustn't be using it all that much then, because I know the Galaxy Buds, they don't take up much battery power, but you're still going to be draining by a few percent.
Probably the one device, maybe two, one device that I've lived off during the last 12 months in pandemic is my Buds Live. Because I can spend the whole day from 8 in the morning till 8 p.m. sitting in front of Zoom or Teams meetings. And I force myself to move because it's not healthy for anyone to be stuck in the same place. So I walk a lot on my step counter, and I actually plug in my Buds Live and I continue my conference call as I walk. So I think that certainly...
The Buds Live actually were personally my favorite. And by the way, this podcast has not been sponsored by Samsung, but as it happens, the Buds Live were my favorite. Buds of 2020, because of their ergonomics and because of the weirdly good audio quality from the only complaint I had them about them was the noise cancellation on them for me was pretty non-existent. That aside, they were absolutely absolutely superb.
You'd be happy to hear we've addressed that in our new Buds Pro.
Okay,
so we got the really far superior noise cancelling and. Yeah. Yeah, so when you get a chance to use that, I'd love to get your feedback.
Okay.
And that's, as you know, included in when you pre-order a S21 Ultra, you get your Buds Pro and your Smart Tag included in the pre-order offer. And for the S20 and S21 Plus, you get your Buds Live and Smart Tag included.
Okay.
For the 2-week pre-order period. So it's a really good opportunity for people.
That's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, it's a really good deal.
Because the Buds Live, they were retailing at around 190, 199. I don't know what they're retailing at now, but they when they were launched, they were close enough to €200.
Yeah. So it's a really good deal for the next 2 weeks. And with that, obviously, we also introduce our Galaxy Smart Tag, which you can tag on any item and then find it with SmartThings. So yeah, really bringing some innovations. It's not just about the smartphones, but the ecosystem.
Mm. Just mentioned the foldables there recently. How's that going for Samsung? I mean, you and one or two other manufacturers are out ahead on that in terms of the concept, in terms of the form factor, in terms of launching models onto the market. How's it going?
Yeah. You know, I've worked now in Samsung since February 15, and I'm still overwhelmed and inspired by their appetite to innovate. And of course, they learn fast, because if you go back to the original Fold to what it is now, and that's my primary device now, is the Galaxy Z Fold 2 and the Z Flip 5G. I have them here. You know, I think we've learned a lot. I think awareness is certainly growing. And the fact that, especially if you have 5G on these devices with the Fold device, I used to bring a tablet, a laptop, and my phone. Now I only really probably spend 80% of my time only on my Fold. Because as you open it up, it's a mini tablet as such with 5G.
Mm.
So it's a phenomenal experience. We have been doing a lot of heavy lifting, because awareness, affordability, et cetera. Also access to it, because when you're purchasing a high value item like that, you would like to go into retail and experience it. And naturally, in the last 12 months, that's been rather difficult. So what we've done is we've introduced a lot of online tools where people can have a virtual tour or an experience of our new innovations, the Fold or the Z Flip. So I think, as we talked about the wireless charging, I do believe that Fold will become businesses, it will become the common factor.
Is it that, does Samsung see this? And I know you're not the guru for all future Samsung planning, but I'm wondering, does Samsung see this as its new ultra premium category, that like it has the S21 Ultra now, other manufacturers have their ultra premium. I'm wondering, does Samsung, is it positioning its innovation and its top phone in this foldable segment, where the S20, S21, you know, S22 maybe next year, they're high end phones for sure, but the foldables are the ultra premium. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. I suppose it's a new category for us as well, because it never existed before foldable became a form factor. And it is obviously at the ultra high premium.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that even during the pandemic, the market last year dropped by around 8% last year, but the ultra premium segment grew significantly. In fact, our position within that also grew, because people are willing to invest in ultra premium smartphone experiences, and especially the fold phone. And what's really interesting for me is that obviously we have a huge base in Ireland, 1.8 million Samsung smartphone users with a very high recommendation score. In the UK, that's around 15 million. We've increased it by 1 million in the last 12 months. But what's more important is that they're using more of our ecosystem. And we also know, not just because we had the edge on 5G last year, for the majority of the year, we also know that the fold form factor is attracting iPhone users like never before. Need twice as many. If you look at the number of people who purchased a fold phone last year, twice as many of them would have come from iPhone than a standard Samsung smartphone.
Okay.
So we know we have something that's very enticing and compelling for our competitor base coming over because of that.
But in terms of, you know, how it's doing, you're not going to tell me figures or anything, but I mean, is this still kind of a very niche thing for Samsung at the moment in terms of it being reflected in sales figures?
I think looking back when we launched it about 18 months ago, of course, it was niche and it's certainly growing. The fact that we haven't had access to retail to really showcase that, I think that's been a challenge for us.
Right.
But I do think the interest of it is growing. The fact that it's 5G and people are looking for a larger screen experience, the Fold is a perfect choice. So we'll continue seeing that naturally evolve in our portfolio.
Has anybody picked up any of Huawei's market share? I mean, Samsung would, to me, seem ideally placed to pick up a chunk of any market share that Huawei is losing or has lost. Has that sort of been the case?
Yeah, I think so. And I mean, I think in the last 12 months, I've been very focused on bringing our Samsung customers back to Samsung. Those who maybe have gone off-piste and tested something different, particularly with another Chinese brand. So we've been very focused on that. And with that in mind, actually, we saw some significant market share growth in Ireland and UK, because a lot of those Huawei customers are coming home to Samsung. Why are they coming home? One, because they're familiar with the Android experience naturally. Two, most of them had previously a Samsung phone, so understand the ecosystem. But three, we have a very affordable range of devices from, as you said, Fold to our low, even 5G A series. So yeah, that's been...
It's the Play Store. I mean, that, like, because I still get new Huawei phones to test. And I'll be honest with you, like, in terms of but in terms of the hardware, it's still very good. I mean, the cameras, they're very good. The design, but the Play Store is tough. It's a tough, it's for some people, it's going to be a killer. I mean, I can get quite a few of the apps on, but it's just a bit harder. And
Adrian, I've been around the block now since mid-90s, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone, because having said that, though, I do, regardless of the business you're in, I think competition is healthy, no matter which angle it comes from, because it puts pressure on the incumbents to think differently. So we've obviously evolved a lot and improved our portfolio on A-series and S-series and Fold because of that increased competition. So that's, I think it's important that we have a good competitive
market. Do you think, I'm not sure if you would be directly in a position to see this from the UK market, but it seems looking globally that there is a division going on in the tech world, and Huawei's kind of part of it, insofar as it's being led by the States to a certain extent in the UK as well. This adverse reaction to Chinese made technology, Huawei's getting hit at the moment, both on the infrastructure and on the handset level because of the Google ban. But I'm just wondering, 5-10 years in the future, are we entering into an era now where there are two giant tech worlds. One is largely around China, and the other is, let's call it, the West. So, and that's one where Samsung would play in both markets, but Samsung is, you know, very strong in Europe, very strong in the US. And maybe that there are two divergent. I mean, is there, the markets, is there anything to that, do you think?
I'm not one to comment from a global perspective, but I do, just from a UK and Ireland point of view, I think that we've obviously seen an opportunity for us to grow our market share and bring and really leverage our portfolio. Again, I encourage competition, no matter where it comes from, because I think it does keep everyone innovating and looking for ways in which we can satisfy the consumer. That's all it is about.
Right.
The consumer's at the beginning, the middle, and the end. I think that's what we should be focusing on, and competition will encourage that.
Right. Okay. Just a last word. You're talking to me, I take it, from Dublin?
I'm sitting in my lounge in Shankill. Yeah.
Because you're based in the UK. That's where your gig is. You're the corporate vice president for UK and Ireland. But you've been in Ireland, I take it, for a while?
Yes, actually. This is my first time living and working in Ireland since 2007. When I was working, I went off to work in the Middle East and then back to the UK. My family returned in 2015 and I've been commuting since then. So since March last year, I've only been on a plane three or four times, reluctantly, to touch base with my team. But it's amazing how quickly we've all adapted to this new virtual world. I have three teenagers who gobble up the Wi-Fi all day and every day, schooling and college and doing multimedia and gaming. So it's a real silver lining, maybe, of course. It's a terrible, terrible.
What do you think it'll be like to go back? When do you think we'll all go back? Because I'm in the same boat.
Oh, I don't know the answer to that question, but hopefully the vaccinations will be rolled out quickly, and that will take some of the pressure off, which is huge at the moment. But I do think it has certainly made a significant change in the way we all work. Maybe there'll be a hybrid model. I can't imagine us all going back, traipsing back into our office and working there 12 hours a day. That's not healthy for anyone. So I think we'll have to find a new balance, a hybrid working environment. Office space will become much more creative, much more collaborative, much more for meeting people. Whereas virtually, you can have meetings as we have been for the last 12 months. I don't think Samsung would have been as successful as it has been. And so I'm really proud of the team that they've really lent into that. And we've really found new ways to engage and connect with each other. But having said that, though, I get my energy from people. So I really do miss that team spirit and engaging with people that way. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Listen, thank you very much for joining me on the podcast today. That is Conor Pearce, Corporate Vice President for Samsung in UK and Ireland. And that is all we have time for this week, folks. So from me, Adrian Wecker, the tech editor of the Irish and Sunday Independent, thank you very much, as always, for tuning in. We'll be here same time next week, and I'll talk to you then. Bye-bye.